Business rules.
At Finbar Galvin Limited, we have some amazing offers on our nearly new Skoda and Seat, including 2017 Skoda Octavias from €79 per week, 2019 Seat Atecas from €90 per week, and 2017 Seat Ibizas from €55 per week, all with no deposit. See finbargalvin.ie.
Red FM's Friday Night Takeout on More Music with Philip Burke. We take a word out of a song, you fill it in, and win.
With Tongue Thing on Patrick Street since 1963. A Cork tradition, and now in Ballincollig. TongueSing.ie.
This is the Neil Prendeville Show. Tweet the show at NeilRedFM. 104 to 106 Red FM.
With Tesco at 10 o'clock in the morning. To the newsroom now. Here's Jamie O'Hara.
On air. And on the Red FM app. This is Red FM's news feed.
Patients must have two major symptoms to qualify for a COVID-19 test from now on. People must have a fever and either a cough or shortness of breath. They also need to be either contacts of a confirmed case. Healthcare staff are in a vulnerable group. It means that thousands of people waiting to be tested who don't have an appointment yet won't be tested and will have to call their GP again. Chief Medical Officer Tony Houlihan says not everyone with cold-like symptoms will be recommended for testing.
To focus the testing more on a smaller number of symptoms that in particular include fever and some other symptoms like cough and respiratory symptoms, and we've set that out, and that will be a more focused case definition that GPs will work with to identify patients, and so perhaps then not every person with cold-like symptoms will in fact be recommended for testing because they don't have a fever.
The Justice Minister is defending the decision to keep construction workers on site despite new strict coronavirus rules. It comes as 204 new cases of the virus were announced last night, bringing the Republic's total to 1,329. Theatres, markets, gyms and libraries are among a list of businesses that are now closed because of COVID-19, resulting in hundreds of thousands of people staying at home. However, construction workers are still expected to work, which the Trade Union Unite says is unfair and dangerous. Minister Charlie Flanagan believes construction workers can still do their job if they adhere to social distancing.
I listened to the Unite representative either last night or this morning, and again, what we're seeing is employers and unions and employees working together because we're all in this together. We can trust each other, we can help each other, and we can exercise work.
The Fianna Fáil leader says a government needs to be put together over the next number of weeks. The party is meeting with Fine Gael today for official government formation talks. Micheál Martin says the government is urgently needed to deal with the COVID-19 crisis.
Well, I think over the next number of weeks we have to put a government together, because I don't think you can keep the current situation is tenable, either constitutionally or in terms of the magnitude of the decisions that may have to be taken in the next 2 months. You know, cross-sectoral and tough decisions would have to be taken to deal with both the health side of it and also to deal with the economic consequences.
A charity claims children will be forced to stay in unsafe homes because of the COVID-19 crisis and social distancing rules. Mary Gamble from Barnardo's is issuing an urgent appeal for help.
The children that we feed can't come into the centres anymore, so we have to now go out and actually deliver food parcels and nourishing food to the kids that we know will be sitting in homes with empty cupboards. Everything that we've ever known has been turned on its head, and we really do need financial support at this stage, because Barnardo's is an organisation, as I said, that works face-to-face with kids. We've never needed technology before. We've never needed the amount of food that we need to buy for kids.
The epicentre of the coronavirus outbreak could move from Europe to the US, according to the World Health Organisation. Dr. Margaret Harris from The WHO says there's been a massive acceleration of cases there.
The case numbers in Italy have been smaller. I mean, the rise in case numbers has been a little less for the last couple of days. They are still, though, recording huge numbers of deaths. So there's been terrible pain and loss in many of those countries. We're also seeing a large rise in confirmed cases in the US. They are now going into a very large outbreak.
Driver theory tests have been suspended due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Prometric says it's no longer in a position to provide a normal level of staffing that maintains the integrity of the service while adhering to the HSE's guidelines on social distancing. The suspension takes effect immediately and is subject to ongoing review. Candidates who have a driver theory test scheduled will be contacted. And finally, in the UK, a crowd of people at a barbecue refused to disperse yesterday evening despite police efforts. Police attended the gathering in Coventry, where they found up to 20 people mingling and standing shoulder to shoulder despite the introduction of new measures to prevent the spread of the virus. Police say the crowd refused to leave even when they were informed of the guidelines. Officers had to knock the barbecue over to put an end to the gathering. And that's the latest news this hour.
Building your new home? Then use the Irish-designed heat pump you can depend on. From Firebird Heating Solutions. Visit firebird.ie.
A Red FM weather.
With Express Care, the best in emergency care for slips, trips, falls and illnesses. Open 365 days a year at the Elysian. Expresscare.eu.
Okay, lots of good sunshine expected across the day today. It'll be a dry day, high pressure day, and that'll continue for a few days to come. Sunny spells, the best of these down here in the south. Met Office talked about highs of 12 to 14 degrees today. A nice dry day, down to around about 3 to 5 degrees tonight. Dry with some clear spells, and that means temperatures hovering around 3, 4, 5 degrees. Same kind of thing for tomorrow, a good dry day. Bright sunny spells expected. Might get a little bit cloudier, so sunshine could be through cloud. But we are looking at highs of 13 to 15 degrees tomorrow, Thursday, and staying dry. Friday, sunshine through cloud. All day long, it'll stay dry. 10 to 12 degrees. Same kind of thing for Saturday. Sunny, staying dry, high pressure, 10 to 12.
The Neil Prendeville Show.
With Tesco, we'd like to ask all our customers to respect our dedicated times for our over 65s and family carers.
Covered a lot of ground this morning. You can text 086-8104-106. Creches will not ask parents for fees because of the deal with the state. COVID-19 unemployment payment, those who are out because they have contracted the virus will get €350 per week, up from 203. The COVID-19 illness payment is the same, 350 for the illness payment, 350 if you lose your job and you're made redundant. But the extra one now is the wage subsidy. So they will pay 70% of take-home pay up to a maximum of 410 per week so that you won't be laid off, that you can stay in touch with your employer and your employment. And in an ideal world, the employer, if possible, would be able to top that up, although there is no obligation. The new measures, no gatherings of more than four people unless from the same household. All of your theatres, your clubs, your gyms, your leisure centres, all hairdressers, barbers, betting shops, marts and markets, casinos, bingo halls, they're all shut. More rangers in our parks, more Gardaí, all sporting events cancelled. And that means we've seen the end now of anything to do with horse racing. All places of worship to restrict numbers entering at any one time. Physical distancing will have to be observed. And all crowded places, including public amenities, should be avoided where crowds gather. So if you want to get out, and you can do, it's not as draconian as the British measures yet, but you need to stay apart. All social events of any size, anywhere, must not take place. And holiday and caravan parks are to close as well. People were saying that that wasn't such a good idea because people could go to a caravan park or to their mobile home to self-isolate. But they're the rules. That's where we're at. We're at lockdown. Some would say form of lockdown. That's what the Star is saying this morning. Or actually, some of them are saying it is and others are saying not quite. But the ones that are still open, for those of you that might be interested, those businesses that can continue to open include retail and wholesale supply of food, beverages and newspapers. Anybody that sells household consumer products to maintain safety and sanitation of residents and businesses, pharmacies and chemists, opticians, optometrists, retail selling medical or orthopedic goods, anybody selling fuel, heating fuel, diesel, petrol, things like that, anybody involved in the repair of motor vehicles, motorcycles and bicycles, anybody involved in the sale of essential items for the health and welfare of animals. Laundries and dry cleaners can stay open. Banks, post offices, credit unions, anybody involved in the safety supply chain, supplying, say, work clothing to people who have to go to work. I mean, think about construction there, or people involved in hygiene and cleaning. Hardware stores can stay open. Builders merchants, stores that provide hardware products necessary for home and business maintenance. sanitation, farm equipment, things like that. Anybody involved in the sale of office products, printers, scanners, photocopiers, office desks, things like that for the business. And anybody providing electrical, IT, phone sales, repairs, or maintenance services for the home, all of those can remain open. It doesn't preclude them from physical distancing, but there's the list. I think it was important just to go through it for you, particularly if you were unclear or unsure as to who was and wasn't. Builders are allowed and construction workers are allowed to go to work, but there seems to be a lot of criticism about that. And Morris is saying, anyone on the dole, and in fairness, some have been on it since the day they were born, none of them should get a top-up. This money is for working people who get off their arses and go out and earn, and not for those who sit on their backsides and drink Dutch gold. So Morris is responding to a question that I put to the minister about people who are already made redundant or who are already on a sickness benefit or who are already on the dole. They stay at €203, and Morris is saying proper order. Okay, let me get back to my phone lines in 1850 104 106. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
I appreciate there's a delay because you're in Melbourne. You're a Mallow girl, one of hundreds, perhaps even 1,200, stranded in Australia. Is there any sign of you ever getting home?
No, Neil, to be perfectly honest about it. The Irish Embassy, to be fair to them, did get back to us today, and they said basically to sort ourselves out for at least the next 2 weeks, that she can't see anything in terms of flights or anything like that, or any possible way of getting out in 2 weeks. And I know people at home are sending me, you know, screenshots of Skyscanner and flights, but we were in the queue yesterday for a flight home through Abu Dhabi, and they were only taking passengers from that were citizens from the UAE, and that was it. And as you can imagine, it was the flight was to Dublin, and it was nearly the whole flight was nearly Irish. You could see the county jerseys everywhere, you know, everyone was going home. There was absolute devastation in the airport.
But they had said otherwise, hadn't they? They said that we had rang
in the morning three times to double check before we left the airport, because we packed up our whole apartment, everything, gave away any food we had, everything. And they said the flight was going ahead, and we were in the queue. We were there 4 hours beforehand, and we were told, no, that unless you were a UAE citizen, that you were not getting on that flight.
And why was it full of Irish jerseys then?
It was everyone going home because the flight was going to Abu Dhabi, Dublin.
Yeah, but it was full, was it?
No, the queue to get in to check.
I'm sorry, the queue was people trying to get on. I thought you said they were on the plane. I was getting a little care. And the only flights that you can find are ridiculously expensive. Is that the case?
Yeah, like we were willing to pay quite a lot of money because we are both nurses, and we are keen to get home, and they were up at 13,000 at one stage yesterday. They are offering flights, but the places they're offering flights to transit through are actually all closed. Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Hong Kong, Singapore, which would be the regular transit airports, they're all closed. They won't take transit flights.
Yeah, because Owen Corry was saying this morning, he's with travelextra.ie, that if you're willing to do a few hops around the globe or whatever, you will get value and you will get back. Did you hear about that at all?
No, we have been on Skyscanner and looking on flights all the last 24
it's
hours.
Just not happening.
Imagine, we were fierce upset. It's not happening, no. And I was talking to a friend of mine in Vancouver, and he was thinking that they won't be allowing flights in either, because we had thought of going through Vancouver. There was two stopovers in Canada, but that doesn't seem to be an option. The Irish Embassy have more or less told us that it won't be possible to go home.
But they are now saying, or at least Simon Coveney says, that if you're short on money or you need financial assistance, that they are going to help. Are you aware of that?
We took a call from the Irish Embassy this morning. She said that was a possibility, that they were in talks, but there is absolutely nothing for definite at the moment. And we do appreciate that they are inundated with calls. But it's just, as nurses over here, we rely a lot on agency and casual work. And I rang my agency, both agencies today, tried to try and get work. And I was put on a waiting list to work in a call centre to take calls in regards to the coronavirus. There is no hospital work at the moment for agency or casual work.
You know,
and
that
no, they seem to be hiring.
Where?
in Melbourne anyway.
Yeah.
I haven't checked.
But you want to, did you get onto the INMO about maybe getting work here? You're a nurse. We need nurses.
Yeah. Both of my cousin and I are both nurses, and I'm actually on a career break from CUH, and I had emailed them yesterday saying, you know, I'll come back whenever you want me. My flight lands on Wednesday, and they were delighted to have me back. They said they were to organise a start date because we both have our registration. Is both active in Ireland, but it's not possible to actually get home to start work.
I was a nurse there who isn't registered in Ireland because she trained in Scotland. She's come home and she's been told that it will take 90 days to process her application. I mean, and it'll cost her, I don't know, 300 or 400 euro as well. I mean, does that strike you as bizarre? Is that because she never trained here at all?
That would be standard, to be honest, Neil. When we were applying for registration for Australia, it can take up to 9 months because they literally go through your whole transcripts of college. It's quite a detailed process, but in current circumstances, it does seem a bit of a length of the time. 90 days does seem a bit of a stretch, but they do ask for transcripts. Yeah.
Do you think at a time when we need our nurses that they'd waive all of that kind of nonsense?
You would imagine, or that there would be a reciprocal agreement that, you know, if you did train in somewhere like Scotland, where it's an English-speaking country, that there wouldn't be an issue about transferring registration if she is registered in Scotland or Australia.
Anyway, back to your own scenario. There are, like, hundreds of Irish people just like you, some in Melbourne, some in Perth, I guess, some in Sydney, areas like that, who want to get home.
Yeah.
The borders with us in Australia are closing on the 31st of March. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
So the only way you'll get home is if the government charter planes. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is what we've been told from today, yeah.
And how are you going to survive? Where are you going to stay and live until such time as they do get you home?
We were extremely lucky. We have a great support system here with friends. They've been quite good to us, and we were lucky. We hadn't just given up our apartment yet, so we were able to come home. But there was three guys at the airport that we were talking to yesterday who had sold cars, all their furniture and everything, had flown from Adelaide specifically to Melbourne to get their flight to Abu Dhabi, Dublin, and they were left in Melbourne with nothing as such.
So do you just have to keep on calling the embassy, or can you call the Department of Foreign Affairs in Dublin on their Dublin number? Is that what you need to do? Is it just keep calling and updating and waiting?
Yeah, we were both basically told by the embassy over here today. She was very understanding of the situation, but we were just told to find accommodation for the next 2 weeks is what she was saying. But it's minimum 2 weeks, and then just to try and find any work as possible. And it's quite disheartening because we do understand that the health service is under such pressure at home, and we're more than willing to work, you know.
You do know that when you come home, eventually you'll have to go into isolation for a fortnight or something, you know that?
Yes, we're aware of that, yeah.
But you can't wait to get back to help.
We were quite happy to go into isolation for 2 weeks. To be honest, Neil, we were going to a separate house and everything. It was all organised for us. And then we had to ring our mothers at 4 o'clock in the morning in Irish time and to tell them that we weren't getting on that plane.
Okay. Simon Coveney also said that he's in talks with airlines, including Qantas. This is not about money, he said. It's just about logistics. And he's literally asking for you guys to be patient. Is that good enough for you? Be patient.
I suppose it's we do understand it is a difficult scenario for them. You know, it is quite complicated to do with airspaces and everything. But I suppose there is a substantial air of panic. There's an Irish around Melbourne Facebook group, and there is numerous posts daily. People are quite panicked. Rent over here is quite expensive. Cost of living is quite expensive. And Melbourne has now kind of more or less shut down for non-essential services.
I know. It's tough on you. It's tough on you all. There's no more I can add to this narrative at this point in time, except just to keep on calling the embassy, try and get by until such time as they come up with a plan, a financial package, and flights to get you home, Rebecca. Is that all right for now? There's no more I can say to you.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we have great family and everything at home, so we are very lucky, but there are other people, friends of ours, who aren't in such a privileged position when it is stressful, you know, it's very, I suppose, home never feels so far away, you know.
I know. You'll get here in the end. It's just a question of time. Look after yourself for now, all right, Rebecca? Yeah. Thank you so much for taking
Perfect.
The call.
Thank you for taking the call, Neil.
Cheers.
Thank
bye,
you.
Down bye. In Melbourne. Bye. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Now, of course, we know that construction workers and construction sites can stay open as long as they engage in physical distancing on the job and as long as they have proper hygiene practice on the sites. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not great, to be honest. I passed, I don't know if I can actually say the site or not, but a site this morning. And, I mean, the gate's wide open. You can see straight in. And you're talking about, you know, three and four of them, literally shoulder to shoulder. There's no distancing going on. And further back in the site, another three or four lads stood side by side discussing something and passing dockets and everything to each other.
And this was on the site at the Crow's Nest on the Wilton Road. And, and you saw this with your own eyes where they were up with each other, working with each other, chatting with each other.
Yep, passed it and passing dockets and everything. I mean, they're passing pens, they're passing dockets. All these sites have portaloos. No, I don't have anybody on construction sites. I know, I'm not giving up because I have somebody working on a construction site. I don't. But, like, they're going home to their families who, in return, are going out to other jobs. You know, it's a case of, do we really need hotels? Do we really need office blocks? They're all empty right now. You know, what is the point in having the... I get we need plumbers and electricians for, you know, emergency jobs and stuff like that. I'm not saying take everybody's job away from them. But we have hotels, we have office blocks, we have all these places that are empty right now. Do we need to be building more? Can we not just concentrate on the safety of people, on their health, and just let them go?
Or if they want to continue to work and to construct, that they do engage in physical distancing. There's a story in the English Times this morning saying construction workers flouted social distancing rules at sites around the country yesterday, and commuters packed the London Underground, ignoring calls to stay at home. So I know the issues regards to transportation is an issue here, taxis and buses, but in the UK they're finding construction workers and sites are not taking this seriously.
But they're not taking it seriously here either, Neil. I also passed a couple of days ago the site there, where the Sextant Bar is.
Yeah.
Like, there's lads two to a van having their lunch. Like, that's not 2 metres apart. They're sat in a seat next to each other. You know, where are their sanitising, you know, stuff going on there? Where's the toilets? There, 90% of sites, Neil, have portaloos.
Where they are, was there hot water facilities for them to wash their hands, soap and water?
Well, on most sites, Neil, there isn't. Now, I don't know, probably, you know, sites have implemented them. But they're, you know, they're coughing and sneezing. They're touching the handles of doors. They're passing pens. They're passing dockets. Like, you know, you cough into your hand, you touch the pipe. You know, the other plumber comes on and he touches the pipe. It's bound to be passed. You know, it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. I mean, it's just the fact that we don't need all these facilities right now. You know, that these sites could just shut down and be put on hold and save so many more lives.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Maybe people will have other observations. That's what Karen saw this morning and indeed yesterday. What about the three or four guys that are sharing a van when they're going over to renovate a house or to build an extension? Shared vans, shared tools, stuff like that. Surely all of that is an issue. Our lines are open at 1850 104 106. You can text 0868 104 106. There's a lot of people stuck overseas, not just in Australia. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
You're down in Cuzco in Peru. Things are...
I am indeed.
...not going according to plan, I'm told. Is that right?
That is correct. They're far from according to plan.
And there's what? How many other Irish tourists are with you and Marie?
So in the hostel we're in at the moment, there's only four Irish. But in Cusco and Lima, there's somewhere in the region of 63 that we have direct contact with.
All Irish, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't get back to Lima... because the country's under a military lockdown, Peru, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, we can't even, whatever about Lima, we can barely go outside to the shop.
Okay, so how bad is it?
So I suppose it's, we don't have an issue with safety or security as such, right? But the whole place is locked down. If you walk out in the street now, you need to have to make sure you have a mask. You have to go out as an individual. There's military police everywhere. You'll be questioned as you're walking somewhere as to where you're going, why you're going there. So, you know, it's just, I suppose, the, yeah, it's a hostile environment as such. Not, we don't have a fear directly for our safety, but as I said, you know, we don't have control. We can't do much. We have to stay in our room for most of the day. We have to keep away from other people, and, you know, food and stuff like that isn't as easy to come by as, you know, you're normally used to. So it's just a very different scenario. And also, we're not very confident that after the 15 days that everything will just open up. Hence why we're kind of reaching out and trying to get the government to help us get home as soon as possible.
So is the lockdown period for 15 days, are you saying?
Initially, the president stated that it would be for 15 days, but I suppose the underlying tones are that, yeah, that's a start, but that would most likely continue in some shape, form, or manner.
So what acceptable reason would there be for you to be on the streets? Is it going to and from a supermarket?
Yeah, so I suppose this is part of the crux, is that the president of Peru stated that you are allowed outside individually. Sorry, the president stated you're allowed outside to go to a pharmacy, a bank, or a supermarket.
Okay.
But in the reality, from the police and military on the street, as a foreigner, it's not really been taken that way. They expect you not to be outside. So whenever you do go outside, and obviously you stand out, they will question you and they will challenge you. We were in a queue for a supermarket a couple of days ago and we were kicked out of it by a policeman. And I mean, we have no retaliation. We're not going to argue with them because we've seen people get arrested and detained. So we just had to walk away. Whereas everybody else who was a proven national had no problem going in. So, you know, there's that kind of stuff going on. And it's not everybody, right? There's some really nice police people out there, military, helping out and giving us masks, but there's the other side of it as well.
And what are they expecting? For you to give them money, is it? To leave you alone and leave you stay in the queue?
Not really. I don't think so. The feel we get, and we're talking to our locals in the hostel and stuff, is that there are some people from Peru who just see Europeans as, oh, you brought the virus here, you know, you have it.
Yeah,
you know, you're a white gringo. You're after bringing this to our place here, and we don't like that.
And how bad is COVID-19 in Peru with regards to infections and deaths?
So I suppose we'll start at the start. When we first came in, roughly on the 14th of March or somewhere around that, before we moved country, we were in Bolivia, and we said, "Well, look, we'll have a look." And at the time, there was 11 cases, and we said, "You know, that's pretty good compared to what's going on in Europe." So we didn't really have a concern, right? But the 2 days after that, then they locked down the whole country, and between then and now, there's a lot of cases. And I'm seeing in the news, roughly there could be 600 or 700 new cases a day. I'm not sure about the deaths exactly, but they have quite a number. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've gone into lockdown. Their numbers seem to be climbing higher than ours. So you were traveling around South America. Did it ever strike you as a good time to get home earlier than now, though?
Yeah, so we looked at that. I mean, we started our trip in December of last year, and we spent time in Brazil, Argentina, and Chile. And I suppose as we were coming up through Chile, so that would have been one of the last countries before Bolivia and Peru, you know, we were keeping an eye on it. But what we saw was that, you know, Italy, Europe was getting hammered, and that South America was actually pretty relaxed and pretty controlled. And we said we felt safer and better to stay there than go home. We did think about it, but we said, you know, if we fly into Ireland now, right, there's more chance of us catching it. You know, what are we going to do, going to quarantine and all the rest of it? But it just turned so quickly. I mean, within 24 hours, we were planning going up Machu Picchu to, okay, now we have to stay in a hostel for 15 days.
My God. You didn't even get up top of Machu Picchu. You didn't even make it to Machu Picchu. That's unfortunate. All gone.
Yeah.
Travel all that far. So who's feeding you then? Are other people buying food for you?
We can get out. The supermarket situation, I mean, it's not every day, right? That's happened to us once and we just moved to a different one then.
Yeah.
But we're okay that way. Now, we're in a hostel where there's no kitchen facility for us, but they provide food. Now, they have roughly, it kind of fluctuates because people do leave and some people move into the hostel, about 80 to 100 people. And they feed us for a nominal price, but they are struggling to get enough food, you know, for everybody, because they can't buy from the supermarket side, or they have to just figure it out themselves.
But are you safe though? You know what I'm saying? Your own personal safety, your possessions.
Yeah, well, we personally feel okay in that manner. We don't feel directly at risk. But we are hearing stories about military and police going into hostels, shutting down hostels, detaining foreigners, or just even maybe not detaining, going in and telling them that they can't be out in the courtyard, they can't be having meals, you know, they can't be having a drink and things like that. So there's always the risk of, I suppose, police or military coming in, and even the hostel staff here, like we have a protocol that if a police person's at the door, they'll see them on the camera and they'll shout to us, and everybody has to scatter and get into the room, close the doors, lock the doors, pull the curtains and things like that. So, you know, there is an air of I suppose risk there, but we're not directly, you know, I don't feel at risk this minute now.
Okay, but there certainly seems
confined.
Yeah, confined, because there certainly seems to me, from what you're saying to me, an element of blame towards Europeans in the way they're treating you.
Yeah, and we have heard that, but like that's not everyone now as well, to be fair. I don't want to push off the proving people, but that's just some of the negativity.
But hasn't Simon Coveney chartered a plane to get you guys home? Is it that you're so, what are you, like 1,200 miles from the capital now, is it?
Correct, yeah, we're about at least a 20-hour drive over the Andes to get there. So he has stated that there's a plan for a plane, and they haven't given us a definite timeline. I'm sure they're working out all the bits and pieces with that. So we're looking forward to hearing that. But the probably bigger problem we have is that the roughly 130 Irish that are in Peru are probably scattered across a dozen different villages, towns and cities, and obviously Peru is a much bigger country than the likes of Ireland, so there's some people there where there are no roads to get to Lima, right? So there's a place called Iquitos with I think 11 Irish citizens, and they can't get a bus, right? You have to get a flight, there's no other way, it's in the rainforest. So that's kind of what's concerning people now, is that can everyone get to Lima?
Because of the zero, there's a zero tolerance travel policy. Does that mean that nobody can actually just travel unless it's, I don't know, could they get you a diplomatic pass or something? I mean, nobody can just get into a truck and drive.
Yeah, so that's not allowed. You have to have, I can't remember the name, but it's like a special pass from the police to be allowed to drive. Main people who have that are people who are like delivering gas, or if they're a police officer or an ambulance driver, things like that. So they have to get a special permission to do so. And we did see that a couple of days ago, Air France had a chartered flight back to Paris for their citizens in Lima, and there was people coming from Cusco to go to Lima, and they had been given a pass for the bus, and the French were on the bus. Now, I'm not sure how far they got or whether they got on the bus, but at short notice it was cancelled, and the French embassy tweeted this themselves to say they were very sorry to their citizens, but for some reason the Peruvian government decided to rescind the permission they had given to get that bus to Lima, so those people didn't get to get out.
Oh my God. So
that's the kind of concern.
You've had no update in spite of the fact that Simon Coveney says that he has chartered a British Airways plane to send it to Lima to pick you guys up, and he's trying to get all of you to Lima in the next few days. That's as much as you know.
Yeah, as much as we know is that there are or is a plan to have a plane, but there's no detail on that. They have asked us for our passport numbers and things like that. So it does feel like it's progressing.
He's on the case.
But I suppose we'd like it to be a bit quicker, but we understand there's complexities there.
Okay, well, let us find out and get an update from the Department of Foreign Affairs. Are you in touch with family and friends back in Cork and I suppose back in Mitchelstown?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, WhatsApp is what we have here. Everyone's using it. We're using our groups to keep everyone informed. Colleagues, friends, family, everyone's in touch. So, you know, we're not locked out as such. So,
okay, well,
we feel comfortable from that.
Okay, well, stay safe. We'll stay in touch. People back home haven't forgotten about you. We'll talk soon, Andrew, okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate the help.
The Neil Prendeville Show.
With Tesco, we'd like to ask all our customers to respect our dedicated times for our over 65s and family carers.
As we all continue to lay low, rest assured at Super Value, we'll continue to stand tall. We thank all our dedicated team that are working day and night to keep our stores stocked and our communities served. Let's all be considerate when we shop, like giving fellow shoppers and store staff a bit more space. Together, we can make sure we are respecting and helping family, friends, and especially those most vulnerable in our communities. At SuperValue, we're there for you.
COVID-19 is a major public health emergency here in Ireland and around the world. It's having a big impact on the way we live our lives, the way our communities come together, and the way we do business. Most businesses are finding things tough, and many have had to let people go. To help keep as many businesses going as possible and keep as many people as possible in their jobs, a major new package of financial support has been put in place. and is available right now for you at gov.ie. Supported by the Government of Ireland.
What matters most? A good night's sleep? Kitchen quality time? A clean house? Dinner time tradition? Or putting your feet up after a long day? What matters most? A happy home. Home Store and More. A happy home.
More music on Cork's Red FM.
I'm Phil. Join me straight after Neil, Monday to Friday from noon with hit music, flashbacks, your laugh at lunchtime, and a chance to grab tickets for Airtastic for the kids. And oh, don't forget the 315 vending machine. All the hit music and entertainment you need every afternoon.
With Specsavers, looking after ears and eyes with the expert advice you need. Specsavers.ie.
Text the Neil Prendeville Show now. 086-8104-106. Red FM.
Okay, with regards to the changes now where you need to be presenting with some, it's almost like a checklist or tick the boxes for COVID-19 symptoms. You know, I mentioned that because they need to prioritize healthcare staff and they need to because they need to be checked, of course. They also need to prioritize people who would be vulnerable or immunosuppressed. So therefore, you need to have a fever or a cough or, you know, issues like that, runny nose. You have to have two of the main symptoms before they will test you, because I think they feel maybe, a lot of people have other kind of illnesses. Some of them could well be seasonal, and they just think they have COVID-19 and they're looking for tests. So that's where the change comes. Like, there are a lot of other illnesses going on at this time of the year. Don't forget that. And you know, somebody was yesterday was talking about the flu, and he was quoting some figures worldwide. And I didn't have a chance because I was on the air at the time to check it, but I did when I got off the air, and I did some research into seasonal influenza. And a lot of the characteristics or symptoms of flu are very similar to the coronavirus. So you're talking about the sudden onset of a fever, a dry cough, headaches, muscle and joint pain. You know what it's like, the muscle and joint pain with flu. If just feeling generally unwell, maybe a sore throat, runny nose, all of those kind of things. And it's flu. And some people may well think that it's corona or COVID-19. But there was also talk about whether, you know, like first the contagious aspect of flu. And you can, if you have the flu, spread it to others. And it's very similar again, like isn't like a virus like COVID-19, the people with flu can spread it to others up to about 6 feet away. Experts say that the flu virus spreads mainly by droplets made when people flu cough or sneeze or talk. Again, very, very similar. And the droplets can land in the mouth or noses of other people nearby or can be inhaled into the lungs. So you see all of the similarities there. And also bear in mind that worldwide flu estimates in between 3 to 5 million cases of flu around the world every year. And depending on the year, some years can be worse than others. But did you know that between 300,000 and 650,000 people die because of issues involving flu every single year? Some years very, very bad, where over 500,000 people around the world die from it, or respiratory deaths because of it. This is the annual epidemics number that they're releasing. So it's very interesting when you compare one with the other. And like at this stage, what we do know with regards to the coronavirus pandemic is that it will get worse. And that's why people need to cop themselves on. They really and truly do. And follow the rules and follow the guidelines. There's been 417,000 cases around the world so far, resulting in 18,600 deaths, a huge amount of those in China and Italy. Italy's number now in deaths is about twice the number that China had. Now, that comes with a caveat, because you don't know whether you can believe the Chinese figure. But in Italy, nearly 70,000 people have contracted the virus and 6,820 of them have died. Now, nearly 9,000 have been cured and recovered. So we need to remember that figure. But 6,820 deaths. At this stage now, it would seem that they've run out of coffins. More on that in a few minutes' time. But morning, Neil. Interesting development this morning. My husband and I were awaiting corona tests since being registered by our GP last Monday. My husband had a mild temperature and flu symptoms. I have flu symptoms too, but no temperature or cough. I'm on the at-risk list due to pregnancy. My GP just rang to say we will be taken off the list now, but just to act like we had low-grade coronavirus and to stay in quarantine. As I'm pregnant, I need to call them if I get a temperature and a cough, they say. I'm actually happy about this new development. It means they will get to those who are really sick faster. We need to look after each other now and to protect our most vulnerable. Love the show, says Anna. So there's an example now in real time of how it has changed now with regards to those that can get the test and those that cannot. You must present two of the symptoms associated with coronavirus. But my point is, a lot of those symptoms are similar to flu. So hopefully it will help, we shall see. But I mentioned Italy, and in the past we spoke to Eimear Downing in Bergamo, one of the hardest hit areas of Italy, where they've had 1,267 deaths alone. It's been a number of weeks since I checked in with her last, but she's back by phone again. So Eimear, good morning.
Morning, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm very well, but more to the point, how's it going there? There was some talk of some signs of hope in Italy. What's that about?
Yeah, so the last 2 days, so Sunday and Monday, there was a decrease in the number of cases in Italy, including the number of deaths. Unfortunately, they weren't going to call it a trend that our curve was actually flattening until there was a 3-day trend. And yesterday, unfortunately, there was a bigger number of cases again. So hopefully it'll be lower today, but we just got to take it a day at a time. It was giving people some hope, though, at least, that it wasn't just on the rise every single day. And also, given that we've been on a real proper lockdown now for about 2.5 weeks, we're kind of expecting to see the results of that.
Okay, a proper lockdown as opposed to what the UK have done, and to a lesser extent us. What are your thoughts on where we're at then, considering what you guys have been through and are still going through? Is it enough?
I don't think anything is enough going by what we're going through. Really, total lockdown probably is the only answer, and how they had it in China, where people really did not leave their houses, seems to have worked a lot better than what's happening in Italy, where there are still some people leaving their houses and there are still services happening. Now, they have continued to clamp down and close more and more things over the last while, but I think the more that's done, the better. People should be at home. You're at home, you're not going to be getting it off anyone.
What can you do now? I mean, tell me about what your restrictions.
Yeah, so the only reason we're allowed to leave the house is to go to the pharmacy or the supermarket, or you're not allowed to go to the doctor, but if you had to, you could, if they instructed you to do so. You need to have paperwork that you sign to say who you are, your passport details or your identity card details, declaring that you are not in isolation, you do not have any symptoms, and you are leaving for this reason. You're also allowed to leave for work if you are in employment that requires you to work outside of home at the moment.
And if, say, for instance, somebody over there who has respiratory issues or is immunosuppressed or has an underlying condition, do they call a number like they do here and then they get tested, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you are asked to call your GP firstly. In fact, I've had first-hand experience of this yesterday because I've had quite bad allergies, which is totally normal for me, last week, but I'm still quite chesty at the moment. And I wasn't really sure whether I should be tying up lines when it's not really bad. And again, like Ireland, I only have one symptom. It's more kind of shortness of breath. I don't have a fever. I've been checking every day religiously. And so we called our doctor. My boyfriend was helping me just for translation purposes, if necessary. And firstly, we couldn't get through to the doctor. There was a message on his answering machine saying that he was unwell. He was coughing and spluttering the whole way through it, and asked us to ring Bergamo's version of South Dock. So again, I think we were ringing for about an hour and 40 minutes before we got through to them. Because obviously everybody is ringing. And in fairness, they gave me all the time in the world. The doctor I was speaking with was very, very helpful, and said, "No, what you have sounds like allergic sort of asthma, which is fairly common for me this time of year. Just keep checking your temperature, and if anything changes, get back to me." So I don't know exactly how it works. If they did have a concern, I assume they would send somebody out to the house, but I actually don't know how it works.
Okay, but the deaths are shocking, like nearly 7,000 deaths. I saw that recently, I think you were telling Brenda, that the army now are taking bodies in coffins to be cremated. Is that right? They're running out of coffins?
That's true. It's absolutely horrific and heartbreaking to watch. So there have been images of, I'd say, dozens and dozens of military trucks taking bodies from the cemetery in Bergamo to other cities so that they can be cremated. Because basically our crematorium in Bergamo can cremate 24 people a day, one every hour, and it's been working full time for the last few weeks. So they literally cannot keep up with the amount of people who have died. So people are being taken to other cities to be cremated, and then their remains are being brought back to Bergamo. So they're just convoys of army trucks every single day. It's absolutely horrific to watch.
Do you think that it's right that people see this footage on television? Is that not causing panic, stress, anxiety and worry? Or do you think people need to see it?
I have mixed feelings on it. I don't think people are fully taking the message seriously. And I think that image is something which might make people realise, oh, I should stay at home. I don't want this to happen in Cork, you know. I do think it's very important to spread the message. But then I had seen these images before the weekend, and at the weekend, some people were doing Facebook Live showing these images, and I just thought it was a bit inappropriate.
Yeah.
Fine, take one photograph, but those are people's loved ones in those trucks. It's it's not just a number.
No funerals now?
Yeah, they can't do any funerals. So people are in isolation, mourning on their own, if they're at home alone.
And people are dying alone too, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it's come to the point as well where sometimes the ambulance workers have come to a house where somebody has died and they don't have a coffin or they don't have the means to transport the body elsewhere. So they've sealed the room and left the dead person in the house for maybe 24 hours or so. But I've heard of this happening a lot.
Oh, my God. So, like, how long are you in quarantine? How long are you in lockdown now yourself?
Yeah, so I actually haven't left the house because, like I say, I had allergies and I was sneezing and things, so I didn't want to go out and put anyone else at risk. I haven't left my front door in 10 days. Before that, I've gone out to my garden a few days before that, but I haven't been out and about, really. I've gone to the supermarket a couple of times in the last month, and that's really all in the last couple of weeks.
And is there a run on supermarkets there, issues like that?
No, it's actually fine. Going to the supermarket is quite a hard experience in itself because it feels like you're in line at a funeral. People are waiting outside the supermarket for a very long time, 2 metres apart. Of course, only one person from a family is allowed to go, so people are on their own in complete silence. Nobody is talking, and then the only thing you hear is the ambulance was passing and everybody's heads drop. It really is just a really heavy atmosphere. But in terms of actually getting supplies and things like that, there's absolutely no problem. You can go to the supermarket whenever you want to go, as long as you have your self-declaration, and as long as you go on your own. The shelves have been full. There
gotcha.
Was panic buying literally 5 weeks ago. It was the only time I've ever seen empty shelves. Since then, shelves have been kept full. We've been able to eat whatever we want. There's no shortage of food. So I know people in Ireland are panicking a bit about that. Don't worry, they have to keep those services open. Otherwise, you have a starving nation and you have a whole other problem.
That's right. We have a list now of businesses that must close and also another list of those that can stay open. But by and large, are Italians being very compliant now? Are they following all of the rules?
Mostly now, yeah. It took a long time, though. We needed strict measures for it to happen. I think a lot of the rules at the start were a bit unclear. I was saying the last time I spoke to you that I wasn't sure if I was allowed to go out for a cycle on my own or not. And that wasn't clear. I think that's really difficult for people. They were saying, yes, you can go out and do sport on your own, but stay at home. And you're saying, do I stay at home or can I go out once a day and do sport? There were a lot of mixed messages, and I think it needs to be very clear.
And looking at where we're at now, because they say that this is a marathon and we're only at the beginning, which every time I say that, I think, oh my God almighty, how long and how many, are going to be affected and how many will ultimately lose their lives if we don't really clamp down? What would your message be to Ireland or to those that are in control here, HSE, government ministers, seeing what you've seen over the past month to 6 weeks?
People won't follow rules. You need to put restrictions in place so that people will follow them. Fine people if they're out and about. If you see people out and about, call the guards. I've been hearing about all these congregations of teenagers who shouldn't be out. get the guards out there, spread them apart, give them fines. They won't be doing it so lightly. People need to stay apart. We've heard it over and over again. The message from the government has been very clear. We're helping one another by staying apart.
And do you think that at some stage Italy will get a handle on this because of the very strict rules that they've now put in place? What are your thoughts on that going forward?
I really hope so. Like, I did think with those 2 days of a decrease in numbers that it was looking like we were reaching the top of our curve and hopefully it was going down. I still am hopeful of that, and I imagine it has to happen. People aren't on the streets anymore, so hopefully it'll start to happen soon. Who knows how long it would take. I do have a concern as well that as soon as the numbers start going down, people might become a bit complacent and decide, actually, no, maybe I will go out and do this or that. So I'm hoping people can realise, you know, we are in it for the long run, and even when we start to see things improving, we need to continue to stay at home. We need to continue to stay apart from people and practice social distancing, or this thing will not go away. We'll get round two.
Okay, Eimear, I'll stay in touch with you. Look after yourself. Thanks for the update from Bergamo. Appreciate it as always. Eimear Downing,
thanks
originally a West Cork girl, or will be a West Cork girl.